You know, there are certain areas of our lives we need to renew our thinking. I just want to share a little bit of about praise and worship, but first of all, I want to talk about this newsletter that's going out. If you want to get one, you can have one this morning before we leave here. The scripture tells us over here in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, I want to just renew our thinking about praise and worship this morning, but before we do that, I want to just kind of reiterate some things we've said the last few weeks. There's a phrase in Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We said after you're born again, there's something that you and I have to do, that God doesn't do everything for you. You know, we have to do some things to cooperate with God and in order to get the benefits of being His child, of being a child of God. And so I just want to remind you some things about renewing our mind concerning the area of praise and worship. Praise and worship should be something that you do on your own. You should be doing it regularly, all day, every day, anytime you need, and particularly put it up more when you're under attack. And so I want to remind you again, let's just look at that scripture, Romans 12, 2. I think we have it up here, the NLT. Let's go to the King James Version, and we might come back to, generally we use NLT to help us understand a little bit more in some ways. And you have to understand that the NLT is a translation, so sometimes it takes away the full meaning of something. So you have to read and understand, know your Bible before you actually go to other translations. You have to study the King James, study and find out, you know, how, you know, this is, it's a pretty accurate translation. You know, it's not 100 perfect. There might be a point, something, you know, that's not, you can see in there if you study the scriptures. And so I can use some scriptures because I understand the Bible. Somebody will read maybe the New Living and say, that doesn't say that in there. But if you study the Bible, you know that you didn't change the meaning of a scripture because it's pretty consistent. Bible, it will interpret Bible. That's how it goes. Bible scriptures interprets other Bible scripture. So if you student the Bible, you understand this. So I'm reading from the King James Version right here. Be not conformed to this world. First of all, don't look like the world, smell like the world, and do what the world does. That's what it's saying. We're talking about being transformed. So you could interpret that in many ways, but it's just telling you, you know, don't pick up the lifestyle of the world, you know, the way you used to live without God. When he says conform to this world, he's saying living like without God, the consciousness of God in your life. That's what he's talking about. When you're making decisions in life, that's what he's talking about. When you're making, being integrous, when you're dealing with people, this is what he's talking about here. Being not conformed to this world. When you talk about the word world, there is not, you know, the physical, you know, earth. When you talk about the world, it's talking about this system in which we live in where Satan is actually Lord and God of. You have to understand this because Satan is the God of this world. Jesus said it, Paul said it, and the scriptures tell us that Satan actually is behind a lot of stuff, and a lot of people blame God for what's going on in their lives or in the life of the world. They say, you know, if you hear Christians say, well, God is in control. Well, he's not in control. He's not. God is not in control of everything. He gets to be in control of only the place you give him. And if you live in the world, if you live like the world, then Satan is God of your life. in certain areas. He's going to have a foothold into your life. And that's why a lot of people are defeated in life as a Christian. They allow the devil a foothold, like, you know, says in Ephesians. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't give a devil the foothold, says in Ephesians. Don't give him an opening in your life through deception. If you're living in deception, if you're living a lie in some area and you come to church, you think you're getting away with it. You're not getting away with it. You might get away with me and somebody else, but you're going to get caught. Because the devil is going to hit you. He'll let you think that you're okay. And one of these days, he's going to hit you all at once. You're going to find yourself down the creek without a paddle. On the rapids, going over the edge. So this is what I talk about. You know what? I just talked about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, about 7 words. And it's already a good message. Well, there's 3 people like it. But I'm telling you, this is what he was talking about. Because we said on Wednesday, Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. Now, you don't have to turn there right now. Just leave it there. In Ephesians 4 and 17, God tells, the Holy Spirit speaks through Paul and tells Paul to a church that is Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Bible-believing church. There were people who believed God. There were people who spoke with tongues. They believed in miracles. They believed in, you know, the ways of the Spirit, and God and the Holy Spirit, you know. And he tells them, do not walk like the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. The vanity of their mind means empty-headed without the knowledge of God. So if you're making a decision, you have to understand, if my decision is that, is that in line with Scripture? Any decisions you're making, is that what God wants me to do? Either written or spirit. Take for instance, if you're getting a job and you get a job and you say, well, there's 3 jobs here I want to take, and if I choose from my mind, I would kind of pick out of my flesh and see what I want. You'd be right out of the will of God. And you have to, when you're making the decision, you've got to say, God, what do you want me to do? And pray in the Spirit. Take some time, pray in the Spirit, and see what the Spirit of God leads you in the peace of God. It might mess with your head, but there's peace in your heart, making decisions. So you have to listen to the Spirit. So you have to not be empty-headed when you're making decisions concerning your life. So don't be conformed. In other words, don't make decisions. Don't live like the world. And conduct your affairs with people, your business, whatever it is, like the world would. That's what he's saying right here. So in Ephesians says, don't be like, in Ephesians 4, 17, don't walk like the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, who have their understanding darkened. And so that's what he's saying here to these people and also to the church at Ephesians. Then later on he tells them, be renewed. In verse 23, later on in Ephesians 4, 23, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's what it's talking about in this area. So get the word of God planted in your heart and your mind. And then there's a scripture here in Proverbs 4, 23, talks about there, you know, be careful what you put in your mind, because what you feed your mind constantly, what you feed your mind on, is eventually going to be the way you're going to make your decisions. In other words, what you meditate on, what you think about often, this is how you're going to make your decisions. Now, this might sound so simple, sitting right here, right now, but when it comes time to making the decisions, you might abandon what I'm just saying right here, because it's a quicker, easier way sometimes to lie, or to use deception, or to exaggerate, or to act like you're actually doing something right when you actually know you're doing something wrong. When the pressure's on. Because the devil put pressure on you to make you change your mind about a lot of things about what God says. Because the grace of God, walking in grace of God, you know, you're not going to be struck dead if you make a mistake. If you know you're making a wrong right now, and you said, I know this is wrong. I know God's not pleased with it. I'm going to do it anyway. and you go ahead and, you know, it's just not really big, you know. So you're walking that way, and you know you're going to get into trouble sooner or later. Okay? So that's what he's talking about. So we're talking about being transformed. So he says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Be you. You be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. That word transform is where we get the Greek word, you know, when you renew your mind. It talks about, gives us a picture of being changed from the inside out. Transformed from the inside out through putting the Word of God into your heart and mind. So we only can change and act like God and have God's thoughts when we plant God's words in our mind. It's not just about, you know, memorizing scripture. Memorizing scripture is not the same as meditating on the Word of God. Memorizing scripture is not the same. Or meditating, you know, when meditating the Word is not meditating the scripture. So, you know, we need to, that's why God told Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, and you know, he tells them there in verse 8, in order for him to have success, he's going to have to get the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, day and night. Not just once in a while, once a month, once a week when we come to church, or Wednesday night, or if there's a Bible, happen to be a Bible study. So there's a lot of work to be done. So be transformed. It's talking about the word metamorpho, or metamorphosis, where we get the word metamorphosis, that we're like a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. But does a butterfly change back to a caterpillar? Oh, forget that. Okay. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you be transformed. In other words, you have to make a decision as a spiritual being, make a decision to do something about your mind. And that is the whole idea here is to start thinking the way God thinks about a lot of issues, about the fact that God can help you no matter what your trouble is. When you're sick and the doctor says, bad report, you're going to die in 6 months, you know, hopefully you're not going to ever have this picture, but if you were given something like that, you have to have your mind renewed, your heart renewed enough that you could actually resist those kind of thinking. But it takes time to be there. You can't just say, okay, I got a bad report, I'm going to start exercising right now. I mean, okay, if you might be able to do that. Some people, most people can't do that because they're too sick. They don't even think about the Bible. Once you're sick, you don't think. When you're so sick, you don't think about prayer. You don't think about church. You don't think about anybody else. Just, I want to just breathe here. I just want to get rid of the pain. If you've never been that sick before. You don't think about anything else when you're sick. But the scripture says, a man with a strong spirit. Proverbs says a man with a strong spirit can actually make it through physical pain. If you build up your spirit, and it takes time to have spiritual growth in your life. It doesn't happen within 6 months or 2 years after you're born again. It takes a while to develop. Some of us smart Alex, who got born again, just after a couple of years, we think we know all the Bible because we read it one time. We think, oh, wow, I know what's in there. The Bible is huge. It takes so much, even just for one word, to actually understand. God's word is continually giving revelation. It's amazing how God is. You know, they discovered about a black hole. Anybody hear that on the news, the science news? They discovered a black hole. That's where all the guys go after. A lot of guys go there, the black hole. Forget it. Okay. Be renewed. You're transformed. How? By renewing your mind. Now look at this. After renewing your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. And this is where we want to be, in the perfect will of God, where the devil has no access to you. But if you just do what you want to do, he has access to you. And so sometimes we say, well, the devil's after me. But no, you were after the devil. He got you. Because sometimes people don't understand. They've never been taught, right, about certain things. You know, he has every right to attack you if you go live like the world does. And God can't do anything about it unless you do something about it. Medicines can help you if you disregard good, healthy practices in your life. You could ask anybody who has any problem in here with maybe a medical issue over the years, and the doctor says, you know, you need to prescribe a certain lifestyle and maybe take these medications, and you'll live a long life. But if you disregard the healthy advice and do what you want to do, then your life is not going to be long. You might have a bad quality of life before you die even. Most likely, right? So we have to listen to what God says. And that's the way God tells us. We have to do that. Like, you know, you could learn about how to, 6 methods to answered prayer. You could find, you know, 5 ways to believe God for something. But if you live in anger and resentment all your life, you ain't going to get healed. You can't be violating God's laws in one area and try to believe God for God another area. I'm talking about renewing the mind. So we want to be challenged. We got to challenge ourselves. I mean, we have to be honest with our own selves, you know, about these areas. And sometimes we want the blessing without participating with God and cooperating with God. So be transformed. So we become what we think. We focus on, because we will reproduce in our thinking. So what you look at long enough, what you think about long enough, then your heart will take that in. Your spirit takes that in, and it has the ability to believe God a certain way. You know, that's why a lot of us had to change because it hurt too bad to live the way we were. I changed because I wasn't such a great citizen of God. I changed because I was tired of hurting. I was tired of being afraid. You know that term, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired? Anybody ever heard that term? That's the way I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Until you're sick and tired of the way you've been living and what's happening, the fruit in your life, then you say, you know, I got to change this, you know. This is insanity, like they say, doing the same thing over and over, never changing anything, expecting different results. You got to be kidding. You know, I told my wife yesterday, you know, I was just so tired of going to the gym. I was going for a walk. I walked around Boulevard the other day. I did not want to go. My body did not want to cooperate. It didn't want to go. I said, let's eat first. And I couldn't get any access to food right away because there's nothing cooked at home, and I didn't want to spend any money again at the chicken house. I promised I wouldn't go there. So I had to say, okay, let's just have coffee then and maybe a donut or something. I mean, there's all kinds of excuses to not walk. I said, I'm too tired. I'm really sleepy right now. It's been a long day. You know, whatever it is, I'm not going to go. I'll go after. You know what happened? How you are, how you and I are as human beings. It's like, you know, remember if you read the story about how God got Moses to talk to Pharaoh. You know who Pharaoh is? Pharaoh was the king of Egypt, and he didn't want to let, you know, the Israelites go, because he wanted them for his own benefit, to use them so he could build his own kingdom. You know anybody like that? Get away from them real quick. They want to use you for their own good and then throw you away. And so here he is. God tells Moses, go and talk to Pharaoh. If he says no, do this and this will happen. And so Pharaoh was complaining about all the gnats and all the stuff happening. You know, there's gnats everywhere. Insects or whatever, eating everything up. And they were everywhere in the house, in the bed, in the cereal, whatever. They were everywhere. So he's tired. And so Moses talks to him, said, talked about the frogs later. When do you want these frogs to get out of your town? When do you want them out of your home, out of your bedroom and everything? He says, tomorrow. That's crazy. He said, I'll do it tomorrow. It's like you. He said, I'll exercise tomorrow. You want change now? You better do it now. And we have a chance to make decisions like right now. You have a chance right now to change your mind about a lot of stuff. About change your mind about how plant healing in your heart right now, so that if and something ever happens or the devil try to attack you or any one of your family members, how you can take authority over this and win your children back to good health. Win your body to good health. Because you know he's going to try to attack. If you've been attacked anywhere in your family, anything you got, if you've been attacked with addictions in your family, if you got attacked with physical sicknesses, or you got a long history of liver disease or heart disease or anything else, you know that somebody in your family is going to be hit that way, because medically they tell us this stuff happens to people. We got to renew our mind to the degree that when you stand there, and okay, so you receive that medical report and say, you know what, I understand that, and thank God for the doctor's report, and they're helping me, they're giving me medicine, but I'm believing God, this is not the end. I'm going to take my medication and let the doctor tell me when I need to get off these, but I'm believing God that God's work is, he's working in me right now to will to do his good pleasure. Amen. Healing and health. So don't say, well, we had a teacher in Rhema. He was in his 90s. He was an old man. He taught us a lot of, he taught us about how to study the Bible and so on. And he was there, when they first printed the King James Version. He was there. He was there when Paul wrote his letters. He was that old. He was very, very old, man. He remembered John on the Isle of Patmos. He was old. He was very old. He made the stories like it was so real, you know. But he would say, if I knew that if I changed my diet when I was younger, I wouldn't have the problems. If I knew that today, I would have done that. But you have to remember, he's in his 90s. And he lived a long life. But he got saved. I believe he was an Amish man, Quaker, and he got saved. And he started teaching at Rhema. At a later age, I think he's in his 40s or 50s or maybe 60s. Like, he was there for a long time. And so, anybody that's older can tell you, like we like to tell people what we should have done, right? If I were you, young man, I would do this, you know. But when you're younger, you think you know everything, right? You've done it all. You say, well, I've done it all. So we become what we think. And so we have to learn how to think like God thinks. We have to think like when it says Romans 12, 2, we have to think like the will of God. We have to be so renewed that we're so renewed in the will of God that anything happens that is contrary to God's will, we can stand up against it. Are you here? So it says, we renewed. Then at the end it says, to the will of God. Everybody say, I will renew my mind to the will of God. In other words, you have to understand this. You're going to start thinking like God thinks. You have to think like God thinks. You're going to keep the word before your eyes constantly. That's what happens. The only way you can do that is keep the word before your eyes and hear the word of God. Hear God, what God has to say. When God changed Abraham's mind, You know, he was a man there. God told him, come outside, Abraham, look at the stars, look at them. This is how your descendant, your family line will be. So numerous. And so look at the sand. So numerous will your descendants be. And yet at that time, he was old. He was really older than most people in this room. And he couldn't produce children. Neither could his wife. And God spoke to him, this is what I want to do in your life. And some of us here sitting in this very room, that God wants to do something in your life, but you want to keep your old thinking. You like being sick. You like being a victim. You say, no, I'm not. No, no. Yes, you do. You won't listen to anybody else except you know everything. You know everything. You know it all. Because the majority of people are not doing, Pastor, what you're saying. No, no, that's true. Jesus said, narrow is the way to heaven. Wide is the road. You can live any way. There's Christians in this city that's living any way they want. And they think they're safe. They're not safe. It takes some discipline to live for God. Praise God. It does. It takes some time. And some of your friends, if you told half your friends that you want to live for God, you wouldn't even have any friends right now. And I'm talking about the worldly friends. That's what I'm talking about, the worldly friends, and they probably wouldn't like you. Because you talk about Jesus too much, talk about the Word too much, but the Bible says you must meditate the world day and night, so what else are you going to talk about? Yeah, like we have certain things, you know, Pastor Ken and I, we like food, we like to eat together. I take him to my house, I said, we're going to eat this. He said, okay. Whatever I put in front of him, he'll eat it. We have a good time. We eat together. We'll joke together. You know, him and I can joke in a way that I don't joke with Dave, Pastor Dave, with, or Steve. Him and I have a different relationship than any one of those other pastors. Because we hang together. We're together. He thinks like me. I think like him. I know the way he thinks because we're together a lot of times. You know, and in fact, people say we sound like each other on the phone. I don't know how that happens, but they said, hey, Pastor Ken. I said, yeah, who is this? Tell me all your secrets. You know. So whoever you hang around with, you start to look like them, sound like them. My wife always tells me, I can tell when you're always with the Res boys, you have a certain way about you, you talk something certain funny. But if you hang around with God, you start talking like God talks. So God wants you to think like He thinks about His will, His purpose. So if something comes up, you say, "Hey, we can handle this." Like Caleb and Joshua. Remember Caleb and Joshua? Well, Caleb and Joshua. The Bible said there was only two of them in that generation that came over out of the land of Egypt. Only two of those guys survived. When all the other people died, two people out of the 12 of them, I guess the 10, the spies there, but all the generation under them, they all died. 20 years younger, who came over, they were from the children from Egypt, those ones survived. God said, let's work with them. So we have to change our mind about certain things. So he says, renew the mind. He says, be renewed in your mind or the spirit of your mind. Can we put up that scripture here in Ephesians 4:23? So we're going to start talking like God, start thinking like God. What I neglected to say about Abraham, God had to change his mind about things. And he started talking like God talked. God had to change his speech. How many people know when you change your speech and you start talking scripture, it changes your mind? And that's where I wanted to talk about with praise and worship, because when you praise and worship, if you think praise songs, it washes away your mind. It washes away things and builds up your spirit. So here, let's get the Amplified version Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In the spirit of your mind. Amplified. I like to amplify it on this one. And be renewed and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. How many of us need a good attitude about certain things in our lives, right? We do need it. And you know when you're thinking is rotten, right? We all know that. My attitude is terrible today, you know. We all get that way. So we need to renew ourselves constantly. You ever catch yourself thinking negatively? God, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, this is a failure. Why does it always happen to me? You know, blah, blah, blah. So, but you have to stay in this attitude, the spirit of this attitude about how God thinks. I can do all things through Christ. I have more than enough. I'm rich. How many of you have no money in your pocket? You can say, I'm rich. How many of you actually can say that, I'm rich? When you're sick, you walk around saying, I'm strong. While you got the sickness in your body, while you're sick, while you're hurting, while you're taking medication, you got to say, you know, himself took my infirmities. Thank God I'm healed. While you're sick. That's a renewal, a mind change. And what are you doing when you're confessing? You're feeding on the Word of God. You're feeding yourself the Word of God. When you talk it, when you say it, you don't have to wait to come to church. You have to. You can say it. That's what's so good about renewing the mind. You can do it yourself. You can be your best cheerleader. I found this out because I found David did it. He said he was his best own cheerleader. When he was down, he learned to bring himself up by beginning to praise God. So let's go to verse 17. What I learned about being a Bible school student at Rhema Bible Training Center, and like all the other pastors and all the other teachers at Rhema, and Cindy could understand this too because she went to Rhema, Brother Hagin, one of our teachers said, one of the things that Brother Hagin taught me, one of the things about Brother Hagin, this is what Doug Jones used to say, this, he taught me, he helped me with, the learning about redundancy. He cured me about this, just to say things over and over again, to change, to go over the same things again, over and over and over again. So in some churches, people just want to just give me a new thing. I searched high and low. I deliberated. I thought and fought and began to talk to God the last few days. God says, no, don't change this message. I was trying to get away from it. I told my wife, I can't get into anything else. I tried to fight it. I went away. I prayed about it. I said, God, I need a new message. I need a new message. I was fighting and fighting. He said, don't go and change this message. So I was having a hard time. I had a crisis in my life. All I could think about and all I could study on and the more I pushed it away, okay, now, Lord, I said, give me something new. I think it's the book of Acts chapter 17. It says there's people in there. The Bereans, I think they were more noble than the Thessalonians. The Bible said they studied every day. They wanted to know every day what was in there. Every single day they studied. They were more noble and they were vigorous in studying the Word of God every day about something. And I think certainly we have to be the same way. We have to be students of the Bible and start thinking about it. The crowd can go another way. A majority of people can go one way, and they're all going to, if you're moved by crowds and people of a lot of people, you'll just be following along. But if you just sit there and talk and think something and let God talk to you, say, hey, that's not the right way to go. And you have to understand, that's what happened to the children of Israel. They followed the 10 spies. Two people said, no, we can take this land because God said it. God says, I'm giving you this land. I've given you that land. So Caleb and Joshua said, let's do it. We can do it. God's on our side. The other guy said, no, we can't. Look at those giants. So some of us, we're not looking at God's word enough and thinking, considering his word when we're considering more about the problem or about the situation that looks much bigger like a giant in your life. And so we need to get out of this. So it says, this I say solemnly and testify in the name of the Lord as it is, as in his presence, that you must no longer live as a heathen, the Gentiles do, in their perverseness, in the folly of their vanity and emptiness of their souls, in the futility of their mind. Their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded, and they are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception of the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. Let's go to the NLT. Back to 17. It's very quick. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. Hang on a second. For they are hopelessly confused. Now, let me just say, God, by his Holy Spirit, is talking to spirit-filled Christians, born-again people, tongue talkers, and he says, Paul says, by the Holy Spirit, by the authority of God, with the Lord's authority, I say this, I'm talking by the authority of God, live no longer as the Gentiles. Why would you tell spirit-filled Christians, don't live like the world lives? I think that's very strong, like in this room right here. I would venture to say there's people in this room right now that's living just like this, just by taking percentage-wise in here. We just say, well, no, I go to church, read my Bible. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. There's areas, perhaps, in your life that resembles what the world is resembling. Now, you have to be honest with your own self. No one's going to take account of you. You have to understand you're walking with you. You and God you have a relationship with God. God will talk to you. None of us follow you around the world or in your home and whatever. I don't know what's in your house, what's under your bed, in your closet. I don't know what's on your computer. I don't know what your friends are like, what you do, but God does. He knows what you're doing. And if you think you're getting away with it, you're not. The Bible tells us that only takes one little seed of error in your life. Let one little sin can spoil a whole bunch of stuff in your life. Some people are trying to pray for their children. They're not getting answers really quickly because there's something else wrong in their life. And they're not confident of their prayer because there's something wrong in their life. The Bible said the only way we are confident in our prayer life is when we live before God, pure and holy before God. And if you teach pure and holiness in this world today in churches, you get pressured. A pastor has a hard time with that. Because in this world, if you live like the world, everything's okay. Everything's fine. Just live with the way you want to live. It's your own life. Hey, it's your life. It's a free country. It's a moral democracy. I can do what I want to do. Well, that's what the world says, but you can't just live any way you want to live. Not if you're walking with God. Amen. You know, I find the best thing, the best remedy in your life with your prayer life is when you walk pure before God and just honest before God. The Bible says those people who get 100% of their prayer answers in the Bible are the people with honest hearts. You read the book of Luke, the Bible says that you plant a seed in a person with an honest heart who lives honestly, they'll produce. You know, the fourth seed, you look at the fourth seed, the Bible talks about the honest heart is the ones who produce a lot. Produce their prayer, produces pretty good. You just have to pray one time, and you say, thank God I have it. Why? Because their heart doesn't condemn them. They know they're living okay. You can't say, well, I know that's wrong over here in my life. And, God can just overlook that. And I'm just going to pray about this anyway. And you're not sure on the inside of if God's going to hear you. You don't know if that's going to be okay. Now, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles. Live no longer. It means that some of those guys, those Christians in Ephesus, were living like Gentiles living. Which is no different. This doesn't change in this setting, in this church, in this time, in this city right now. For they are hopelessly confused. Confused about a lot of things. You know, we have so much confusion everywhere. You can just read the papers. Everybody's confused about it. Did Trudeau say that? Did Donald Trump actually do that? Who do I believe? The conservatives or the liberals? Who can I vote for? If I vote for the conservatives, I won't get this. If I vote for the, you know, if I vote for the Trudeau government, the liberals, I'll be getting this, but they'll be taking that. And if I vote for the NDP, they're worse than the both of them. Everybody's confused. But we have a job to do, people. We need to pray for whoever it is. If it's a wicked government, we can still pray and God will do something for the benefit of the world, of our people. And the world is never going to be okay. You need to understand that the world is never going to be okay. And it will be okay if we pray for the will of God, for our leaders. You know, God will, when we pray for our leaders, God will do something with our leaders. God promises that in the Bible when we pray about our leaders for the benefit. Thank God if there is a godly leader, it'll be much better, right? The Bible says the city rejoices over the leadership of the city. And blessed is the nation whose God the Lord is. With another scripture. Amen? Pretty quiet around here. It's 12 o'clock. Let's read a little bit more. Are you getting one thing? Is this good enough? Till we get to this is Palm Sunday. We're going to start throwing some palms out pretty soon. They're going to be coming on the Pom Pom Girls in a moment, and they're going to dance for you. Amen. One's getting up right now, getting ready. Come back when you're ready. Okay. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from God. Life gives them because they have to close their minds and harden their hearts against God. You think people are like that, Christians? Sure they are like that. They won't listen. A lot of times, that's why, when I was in the university and I studied about, counseling and all that, I studied a bunch of stuff in the university, and I would sit down, become, a clinical. That's why I moved out of clinical and went into research and management. And from my master's study and graduate work, I went out because I found that I wasn't really that good at clinical because I didn't want to waste time with people, listening to them all day long, talking about different things. Can we move on? Can I just tell you what I think? Can I tell you what the book says? But okay, so, I understand this. We all have to take people. They need to talk, and we should let people talk. Okay, so I'm not saying I don't advocate for that. We should listen to people. Listen to them talk. And after they've gone through that for a number of times, then you say, okay, this is it. Let's get this straight now. I always tell people, what does God think about that? What does he do? And we need to tell ourselves the same thing. If anything happens in our life, we need to ask ourselves, what does God say about this? How do I get out of this situation? We might be confused, but we're never without God and never without his answer. Why don't we just stand up and give God praise? Amen? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We are what God says we are. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. I am who He says I am. God says you're righteous. You're a child of God. You're His child. You're not a poor person. You have riches and blessings. The Bible says you're healed. God says you're healed. You're sick right now, but God says you're well. You need to renew your mind in that area. God says you're strong. You're a strong person. The Bible says, be strong. Remember Ephesians? It says, be strong. But he said, well, no, I'm weak. I feel weak. Well, we didn't ask you to act on your feelings. I'm asking you to act on the Word of God. I'm asking you to act like God says. Be strong. Be strong. God says, be that, be strong. That's what you are. He told Joshua, Joshua, stop crying about your leader, Moses. Forget about it and move on. And he said, be strong. Be courageous. Now, any one of us need to take that word, plant it in our heart. You know, I woke up this morning, I think maybe about 5 o'clock this morning, woke up, and I started thinking about some things. And the Lord said to me, as you're thinking about that thing, notice your heartbeat. Ooh, it was beating fast. In the morning. And the Lord says, the way you think is the direction your life is going to go. And then he said, what did I tell you to do? You made a commitment to me that you'll never fear. And you got scriptures in the Bible that says, fear not, fear not, fear not. And he said, I gave you specifically, I gave you Psalm 23. He said, I will not fear. I saw across, I saw that word. I said, I will not fear. That's a decision that you have to make. Any problem you have right now in your life, you're not going to be afraid of that problem because God's bigger than that problem. His word is more awesome than that problem right there. He's an awesome God. God is a good God. We sang that song this morning. He is a good God. He'll take you out of that situation quicker than you could ever think about getting yourself out of it yourself. Hallelujah. I want you to, you know, there's some people that are sick today. We went to see Tony. You know Tony? He had had a couple of toes amputated, and we went to pray for him. You know what that goes? You show up at somebody's bedside, and just to see you for a few minutes, it really helps them. So we prayed with him, believed God. And he said he had some other issues that the doctors are looking at right now. We want to pray for him as well. We have somebody here that has a virus. And we have somebody at home as well that caught a virus. And they're so ill they can't leave anywhere. They can't go anywhere because they're too sick. They call these superbugs. Is there any superbugs here? No, you know what? But we got a super God. Amen? And we can pray. God, you know, he's right here right now just as much as he is over there. God's everywhere. His power is everywhere. He's no more or less here than he is over there right in that room. So we're going to pray. God's word is everywhere. He's everywhere. God's so big that he lives on inside of each one of us. Somebody said, he's so big he fills the whole world, but he's so little he can fit in your heart. That sounds pretty good, eh? I learned that in children's church. Anybody? We need to work in children's church. Some of you need to go work there. Learn a lot working in children's church. Work with kids. Amen? You need to respect your family. Yeah. You know, take care of your parents. They fed you. Put clothes on you. Right? And gave you food and wiped your bum. I'm serious. And you have to take care of, like this man here, taking care of your parents. That's good. That's what God wants us to do. Don't just shove them off over there and say, no, let somebody else take care of you. Government will take care of you. Give me that money. No, we need to take care of our families. Amen? You know what it's like being sick for all those months, right? Yeah, but you're much better now. Amen. And the lady behind you, she was sick too. But you're better. Rough road, but you're back in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for you this morning. Is that okay? We're going to pray for this. How many people believe in the anointing? Amen. God's anointing is here. Man, I'm anointed this morning. Woo! Fire coming out of my eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lay my hand on this cloth and I transfer the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the healing anointing, to drive out sickness and disease out of that person's body, to complete a healing and a cure that they'll recover quicker and faster than anything else. Thank you for the medications and stuff that they get. I thank you that they'll work and not cause any adverse effect in their physical bodies. Thank you. And anyone here that are on medications in this room right now, or sound of my voice, those that are watching online, I pray those that are taking medications, I pray in the name of Jesus that those medications will work the way they were prescribed and not hurt any one of your body, any one of your functions, your body, your whatever it is, your blood, and every vital organ, in Jesus' name. And I pray that the healing power of God will penetrate and go through every section that's healed, that's sick, and be healed. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it right now, in Jesus' name. Jeanette, come on, let's pray for you right now. Come on here, I want to pray with you and lay hands on you. Come on, guys, who's here? Be quick. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to pray for Jeanette Bailey. We thank you for the anointing of God. Watch her. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the healing power of God. We thank you. We curse the sickness. Reverse the curse of sickness. The healing in the name of Jesus will be manifested in her body. She's going to jump for joy, live a long life, rejoice in the Lord. Ha ha ha. Oh, ha ha ha. Thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Jeanette, say, thank God.
Thank God.
I'm healed.
I'm healed.
I'm the healed of the Lord.
I'm healed by the Lord.
I'm not afraid of sickness.
I'm not afraid of sickness.
Because God
is
my healer.
My healer.
Woo! Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Pastor,
I got to tell you.
Yes, yes.
When I was sick, Jesus came to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he had, I don't know if it was a sword, or not a sword, but it was like a big stick in his hand. And he had, it was around like a plate. Mm-hmm. And he said, fight. And I fought and I cried.
Woo!
And I know he healed me right then and there. He started.
Amen.
Every day is a healing day.
Amen.
And I feel wonderful.
You got it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And everybody who prayed for me in this church, that came true. Thank you.
Amen.
From the bottom of my heart.
Amen.
This is my home.
Yes.
You said it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I thank God, you know. She had a manifestation of discerning his spirit. Saw Jesus. You know, when you see Jesus, that's a discerning his spirit, a gift of the spirit. You see Jesus talk to you right there. And this lady has been this way for many, many years. She's been coming to church. God's healed her in different times. So we're standing. We believe in God. When we at our office staff meeting, we're believing with her. And different ones, if you're sick, I'm standing with you. If you've been sick in your body, I want to tell you, Friday night is going to be a miracle service. I'm preparing myself that way, that God is going to move in a spectacular way, that even if you're not sick, you think you're not sick, or God's going to do something in your spirit that night. It's going to be a renewal of your spirit. God's going to jump out at you. Something happens in the name of Jesus. Let's pray for that evening right now. Father, we pray for the Good Friday healing and miracle service. We pray that people are going to come, families are going to come, healings and miracles. We pray, as the Bible says, stretch forth your hand, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. We thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in manifestation. We thank you for that. And anybody here right now that needs Jesus, say, thank God that the Savior, Jesus Christ, is my Savior and my Lord. And I want to thank you right now. Somebody just got healed in their knees right now. In the name of Jesus. I don't know who it is. Maybe online, maybe in here. Healing in the knees right now. Go ahead and claim it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Throat problems, back problems, eye problems. In the name of Jesus. Be healed right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. As you walk closer with me, according to my word, things will become more clear to you. concerning my will in the areas that you've been concerned about. Yes, I have taken care of those areas, but you must begin to see for yourself what has happened. Begin to fight for the right to be healed. Begin to fight for the right to prosper and to have a clear mind, to have a strong heart and a strong family. Begin to stand with and for your family members to come in the kingdom of God, to come back. And you're going to find things will get better real quick. Thank you, Lord God. I don't have any more. That's what the Lord said. In the name of Jesus. So we want to thank God. Let's lift our hand one more time and thank God. I promise you the Holy Ghost is here. The miracle power of God is here right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and for your mercy, that we're going to not act like a Gentile's walk in the vanity of their mind. We're going to act like God. We're going to say what God says. We're God's children. We're going to act like God. And we're going to say, things are going well for me when they're not going well. We're going to say, this thing is going to change right now. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now, people. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise You. We thank You, Lord God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. Have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you at the Teen Challenge graduation, or see you here tonight. We'll see you Wednesday, Sunday, somehow this week. Amen. See you in the hallway, on the bus. Praise God. God bless you. Those of you watching online, listen, God's there right